Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 183. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brayton Oski.
And I'm Awesome Morales. And this week on The Inner Gamer, officially this week, we're talking about QuakeCon, our experience there, our history at QuakeCon, and the two biggest reveals, Rage 2 and Doom Eternal. And in the gaming news, the IGN writer who plagiarized Dead Cells has been fired, along with a grandpa who has 11 phones and plays Pokemon Go, and it's ridiculous.
He literally plays on the go.
And much, much more. And in our discussion topic, we talk about the Red Dead Redemption featurette that's been released recently and what we want from RDR2. So without further ado, cue the music.
Hi, this is Charlotte Chung, the voice of D.Va. I play to win, and you're listening to the Inner Gamer Podcast. Winky face!
It is August 14th, 2018. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love, absolutely love for you to support us on Patreon. For as little as $12 a year, you can make this podcast better, and we will give you some wonderful goodies along the way. So let's talk about the games we played. Austin, we just got back from a Expo Con thing the name Quake in it.
Oh,
not to be confused with Quake from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Quake as in like the first person shooter.
I'm quaking in my shoes with all the excitement.
Are you?
I am. I am pretty excited.
Are you going quakey? Like crazy, but quakey? That was a good joke right there.
I'm just leering at Brett hardcore. The leers are real.
I don't blame you. I'd be leering hardcore too. I'd be like, this guy is freaking crazy.
I know. So before we jump in all this, I think, like I usually should, we should kind of go through our experiences up to this point. First one was pretty awesome. Had a bunch of like pretty decent expo. Oh, this is our fourth one, isn't it?
I don't remember. I can't remember.
I think we went to two at the Anatole, and then we went two at the Gaylord.
That's true.
Okay. So first two had actually a pretty decent expo hall.
No, I think we just went to the one at the Anatole. I'm pretty sure.
Did we? Okay.
Because it had like Prey, and then they had, they were announcing the first Doom, or they were talking about it.
Is that right?
Wait, maybe. Well, no,
I thought one had VR and then the other one had Prey.
No, that was the same one.
Was it?
So they had Prey. Well, no, I take that back. So they had Doom.
It doesn't really matter.
And they had things.
Anyway, we went there. Expo Hall was actually pretty decent. It was comparable to some of the other ones. Obviously, PAX and E3 are like gigantic, but I think the last one we went to, I was not like super pumped about.
Oh, really?
Like the last one was not that great. I mean, the expo hall was significantly cut down. It was connected to the BYOC. So you had this giant hall, which had a really cool arena for Quake Champions there, which they had like a really nice setup.
Yeah, that setup last year for the esports last year was way better than this year.
Yes. And then like, I was just so disappointed. We had press last year, and we didn't take full advantage of that. And it was like $25 a park. So this year coming in, I really didn't have any big expectations. But I can say wholeheartedly that I walked away very happy.
Very happy. Yeah. So let's jump into, I want to, before we dive into like our experiences and stuff like that, I want to mention.
Oh, sorry.
Notes of the, what? Oh, no. You're good.
That was great. Okay.
That was great.
Thanks. Yeah.
But I want to talk about the keynote that we were not able to go to, but I want to go through the announcements real quick about what they revealed there that are kind of things that everybody should be aware of. So there were five things at the QuakeCon keynote that are worth talking about. One, Quake Champions, the game that is basically like their version of a hero shooter, is now permanently free to play as of today. When you listen to this podcast, it's been free to play like for a while. But they brought it out in 2016. They announced in 2016. It went free to play early access in 2017. But then there are paid starter and champion pack options. Now, everything, the entire game is 100% free, and you can play it free all the time. And then, of course, there's like microtransactions, stuff like that. But it's free to play. The Elder Scrolls Online's next expansions are going to have werewolves and swamp creatures. And it's going to be called Wolf Hunter. And you're going to be hunting werewolves and the Daedric Prince Hersine, And then after that, they're going to have Murkmire, which will take players to the swampy homeland of the Argonians, the Black Marsh. So Wolf Hunter is going to come out August 13th on PC and August 28th for consoles. Murkmire's release date has yet to be announced. In addition to that, Rage 2, they showed off new trailers and stuff like that, which we'll talk about there in a second. They had Doom Eternal gameplay reveal. The stuff that they showed online is not everything. We saw more, which I'm really excited to talk about. And finally, Doom Eternal is coming to the Switch. It'll be on the Switch whenever it comes out to everything else, which is pretty crazy. I don't know how they're going to make that work out, but that's what they're doing. So let's talk about the two trailers that we saw before we talk about games we played. Okay? Unless you want to talk about some experiences first and then jump into the
I guess we kind of talk about how the convention set up. I don't know if anyone's excited about it, but okay. Maybe okay. Just kind of. So BYOC, so they had two floors. One was like all of the panels, and then you had, well, most of the panels. And they had the bottom floor where you had the BYOC giant room. They had up to, was it, I think it was 4,500. They could have up to 4,500 people there. And apparently they had to have AT&T come out and like fix the internet because the internet was like super, like it wasn't working. So I guess they had to put more power, more equipment.
And they said they had like 10 gigabits of internet there, which is crazy.
That is awesome. And it's never enough, right? Like that's just not enough.
No.
How is that enough for all those people? Anyway, then you have
the
Expo Hall.
3,000 people playing BYOC, which is crazy.
That is legit.
That's big. That's a big LAN party.
I mean, they didn't sell out, but it looked like they pretty much sold out the place.
Right.
So I can only imagine what it's going to be like next time. Can you imagine both the Expo Hall and the BYOC all like just one single giant BYOC? It's going to be like that one day.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Well, they definitely planned for it bigger, and I think it was bigger than it's been. I mean, I think they said it was the biggest event that they've ever had, but the biggest BYOC they've ever had. But it was still like, yeah, they had empty spaces. I think they planned for too many people, and it was still under that. But as far as just attendance in general, it was huge. I feel like the biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's free. It's free.
There was a shit ton of people there.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So then you had the Expo Hall.
Yeah,
and it's actually decently. It was filled out, and I was impressed by that. Like you can go get merch. You can check out some of the games. They had the Somerset Isle DLC for ESO, and then you could play some Prey Moon Crash, which I wasn't too excited about. Then they had the small, like very small, still significantly taking up most of the Expo Hall. Help me with the. You're just gonna let me sink on this, aren't you?
Rage?
No, not Rage. No, the competitive esports,
esports
stage
area. Yeah,
yeah. So they did mostly the card game, which was I forget what the card game was called.
Legends.
Yeah. So you can do that. They had the VR.
Well,
setup.
They had some champions up there too. I saw. Today.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah, they were doing some champions going on.
Play some Quake.
They had some VR in there that you could play the Cyberpilot Wolfenstein DLC, and you could also play the Prey DLC or the Prey VR game. I forgot what it was called. But they had everything Bethesda properties, like everything that's under the Bethesda name was there.
Sweet.
Obviously,
except Doom. There
was
no
there.
Doom for anything.
Well, I mean, it was like the big announcement.
Just Eternal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But like play-wise, you couldn't do anything Doom.
Yeah.
I guess Doom VR, but that's it.
I didn't expect them to have... Well, they didn't have Doom VR there. Yeah. Well,
really?
I mean, not that they needed to, because it's out. So,
true.
Yeah, they were just... That was their big reveal announcement. And I was glad that they waited until QuakeCon to announce that rather than like dropping a big bombshell at E3, because it had something for people to look forward to at QuakeCon.
Yeah.
Because last year, QuakeCon was like, yeah, it was cool to be there, but there wasn't any big like game announcements to be talked about. This year, they had Rage 2 and Doom Eternal that were a huge part of it, which leads me into, let's talk about the videos.
Oof.
So...
Oof.
Rage 2, first off, is we played it. I actually played it twice, the same demo. Austin played it once, and it was really, really cool. But they gave a trailer. So if you go look online, I think there's a trailer out there. It's like 6 minutes of like the things you can do in Rage. And there's all this...
it's been out since E3.
Yeah. Well, this is a new one.
Oh.
Yeah, this is brand new
it.
For this
Oh, dang,
this
I missed
event.
It. Okay.
Well, no, it was in the expo today.
Yeah, that was already out.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I think that was an extended version.
It might be extended, because I remember seeing that exact one at E3.
Interesting. I hadn't seen some of that stuff before.
Or maybe it came out after the fact, but it's been on the internet. It wasn't at E3.
That could be.
It was around E3. I saw it.
I don't know. They made it seem... I mean, I thought it was new because I never saw the marshlands before. That was brand new to me.
The marshlands?
Yeah, like the where they showed the different biomes.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
They
yeah.
never revealed all the biomes yeah. from the last trailer.
Yeah.
And this one, they anyway. Like went on to all that stuff, so...
It was that was cool. Like I really yeah. liked that. I, yeah. Like they've made this a world where it's traversing in, having different sections. For me, the way that they have it set up just makes sense in my mind, like categorically, how I want, like, you know, if you go here, it's gonna be a different experience. If you go there, it's gonna be a different experience. You know, different enemies in each, I guess, section, if you want to say. And then you go in, you have the different tactics for each one because they all enemies play differently or attack differently. So I was like, yes, right. that's what I want.
Yeah, there's a lot of diversity in here, a lot more than I feel like Rage 1 had. Like vehicular combat, there's a lot of complexity. It seems like you're going to be on the road a lot more than the last one, which I'm kind of excited. It's got a Mad Max kind of vibe to it. Some really, really cool, like just explosions and things you can do. There's a part where they had this, you could, like, there was two cars in front of you that were running. They had like an electrical field between them that was basically like a electrical like roadblock, and you couldn't get through. So you started like blasting like rockets or like mortars that would come up from your car and like drop down on the people in front of you. That was really cool. And then as far as what we played, like we got to play roughly a 15-20 minute demo, and this is what you saw in the E3 true reveal where they showcased. They showcase that area where you go into this, you're about to go into Eden's, I think it's Eden's Gate or Eden something. And you have to like launch this or bring down this thing from the sky and like go through these terminals to get to this area to unleash this thing that's a big, huge, hulking piece of machine. But in the process, you have to fight through a bunch of bad guys. And so they introduce you to a couple of the mechanics. So they have the slam, which is... you hold down a button and you go run up into people and jump up in the air and just like slam down, and that'll like kill three or four people. You have what was the other thing called where you like the force push thing? It's like splatter, like swatter.
It might have been like splinter or something like that.
It might be that.
So you push them and they sometimes explode or they just go like flying back. So it's like force push.
Yeah.
Star
yeah.
Wars.
But if you hit them just right, like they just like blow up. In addition to the all the attacks that you can do, they have like an overdrive mode where after you like kill a bunch of guys and get like a streak or whatever, you unlock overdrive, and that's just like you just one shot kill everybody and just blow people up. So that was really cool to see. And then the boomerang, the wing stick, that was awesome. Like I love that to use that and like just home in on people, and you can hit people behind walls and stuff like that. That was really exciting.
And so. It's super hard to aim with that too.
Yeah.
Like it took me a second to like get the hang of it, but I was just like it was locking on, but I thought it was already locked on, and I would throw it.
Right.
And one of our guys came out with us. He had to play it too, and like me and him had the same problem. Like everyone kept dodging it, and was like, "Why can't I hit these people?" And then I realized that once it locks on, there's this red line that like is your. Like that's the path that's going to travel.
It's going to take.
And so you throw it, and that's where it goes. And I was like, oh.
It was confusing when they first described it in the video because they're talking about how it's a you throw it and it like does this pathway or whatever. And I thought you just press the button and it would just like then show you where the path was going to be once you threw it.
Right.
But you actually have to wait for it to lock on. So you have to have line of sight with the person.
So you're getting
shot.
In order
for you to lock on.
While you're doing this.
Yeah,
basically. Which is the bad part. Which probably makes it a better weapon at first to before you start battle. Like that's your first move.
Right.
Get someone far away or whatever. Someone up high. And I just like it kills them in one hit.
It's great. Yeah.
It doesn't one hit, but some guys have armor on, so you have to like hit them multiple times to break down their armor to kill them. The shotgun's pretty cool. It's almost just like a cannon blast of air, it seemed like.
Yeah. The shotgun was nice. I like being able, there was a lot of complexity in combining the different move sets, like throwing the boomerang thing at them and then jumping around and going up to another guy using the force push. And then pulling the shotgun to pop them a couple of times once they get knocked down, doing the slam behind you, and the dash too, like being able to use the dash. That was really awesome. So there was a lot of things that I could see myself getting pretty creative with the moveset
right.
when the game actually comes out.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more like actual abilities that you can get. And I'm sure there's going to be a point where you can switch them out too, which is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that. It's true. I could see that. So Rage 2 is awesome. and I had a blast. I cannot wait when that comes out in spring of 2019. It's going to be awesome. So let's talk about some Doom Eternal. We didn't get to play Doom Eternal. It was not playable, but they showed off a trailer that which everybody can go online to see. As far as I know, the other stuff, we saw an additional like 15 minutes of footage that is not anywhere I found online yet. So
which might be coming out soon, but
yeah, I think though it was kind of like that with last time they showed some Prey footage that didn't come out for like another month or whatever. But Doom Eternal, damn, this game looks awesome. I'm like really, really psyched about it.
It's literally Doom on steroids. Like it is, like everything about it.
It is Doom.
Well, I know, like the first Doom, last Doom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, like, I was like, what?
Yeah, no,
yeah, like, that makes sense.
The last Doom, like the last Doom was great and it was quick and there's a lot of cool stuff and you can do a lot of, you know, great things in it. But this one just seems like everything's heightened. You have all the weapons that are now more customizable or been enhanced in some way, probably more powerful overall.
I like how every gun has like two different types of. Like, it has two different type like versions of the gun.
Yeah, everyone. So like you can, it's the same as Doom.
You have the bow where you can shoot the bow fast and it just shoots them. Or you can hold it down and it's like an exploding bow. You don't have to switch ammo types or anything like that. It's just that's the secondary ability of that gun. There was a lot. The guns are crazy. And there's, I mean, I loved in the demo they showcased how you can... you can move around like the mobility is crazy, like insane. Like, I didn't realize it was this mobile.
They've added like a grappling hook that now launches you across, depending it can launch you up or it can launch you across. It can launch you at an enemy depending on where you
grab.
Throw it.
Just grab something with it and it'll pull it. So like the guy that was playing was reaching like there was this floating like what I think of it as is that that orb ball in Destiny that has a little eye thing that you shoot at the eye and like take it out, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From the Vex or whatever.
Oh, okay,
or what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah.
But that that thing. It looks like that, but like if it was in hell and it was full of bloody dirty skin.
Yeah.
And
I love
so
it.
He would like jump up in the air, the guy playing as a character, and shoot out this flipping chain link, pull towards it, fly past it, go to the other side and like pop him from the back.
Right.
I was like, shit.
So I don't think there was a dodge mechanic, but now there is one. So you can sidestep.
Yeah, like a dash.
Left, right.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of your abilities.
No, I think that's built into the game. It looked like it was something that's just
thinking,
like part of it.
Okay, Rage has this too. Rage now
Rage has
this,
a dash too. And the Rage is kind of an ability because it has a three run until it has a cooldown.
Okay, until it cools down.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think that's always going to be there. But you can only use it three times, and then it has to cool down.
It's a great mechanic for both these games, and I like how they both kind of have the same kind of gameplay feel. Obviously, much more different in the way that the enemies are.
You can definitely tell that they're both made by id Software because they have that
very
distinct shooter kind of very fast.
Oh, excuse you.
Very fast paced.
But die over there. Brett's dying over here.
Yeah, I'm dying. But yeah, it's super fast paced.
But okay, verticality, which is a big thing. And I really enjoy how that's more. They have verticality in Doom, but not this one. Not this one so much. Or the last one. But this one, it's super vertical. And I really enjoy that. Because now you're kind of like Spider-Man just jumping around everywhere.
Right.
I mean, it's ruined. It's Earth in ruins. And so obviously there's a lot of buildings, high skyscrapers, all that's been kind of taken down. And man, I just can't wait to get my hand on this.
So we got to talk about the stuff that they revealed after that. Because like the trailer that they showcased that everybody else saw, like it was, it was crazy. Like the killing move, the finishing moves where you go up to a guy and like you then stick your like blade up through its head and like rip its head off or like slice it in half or like poke your,
and so
your
that
sword
is,
into its eye and like rip its eye out and stuff it down its mouth.
Question is the grappling hook, is that the actual knife as well? Does he just pull it out a certain amount?
It might be.
So they're showing this new tool that's kind of like for Mass Effect where you have your, I forgot what it's called, but your little digital saber that you can pull out every so often.
Yeah.
And that's basically what this is, but it's metal. And that might be the grappling hook now that
it might
think
be.
About it.
They jumped into the lore, which I was really, really excited to see them do this because they're basically trying to turn this into, like, I can tell that they're building for the future with this Doom game, this Doom new reincarnation of Doom. And they showcase you're not just like at hell on Earth anymore, but that they have, they've started building out the Doom universe. And in this game, you're going to be going through the Doom universe. So there was areas that they showcased that weren't just like hellish landscapes. They had these really cool, like royal looking white spaces that were with alien demon things and like a whole bunch of different types of locales. Stuff that looked very Dark Souls, which I thought was really interesting. A lot of Dark Souls references, like in the lore that they're building. They were like saying that they love lore and they want to build out lore in this game. And I thought that was really interesting. And I also want to mention,
I thought they're going to like give us a little tidbit, like, hey, if you go looking around the world, you're going to find like really awesome stuff that you can read and discover like new things or plot points that you wouldn't get any other way. But they didn't say any of that.
He didn't mention that at the beginning when he started showing the lore. He said that we're big fans of environmental storytelling.
Right.
And in this game, we're going to be putting a lot of environmental storytelling into this. He led into that when they started showing like the lore universe. Like, they didn't go into detail about it.
Right, right.
But okay. I imagine that's going to be there in some capacity.
It better.
For, like things to read and stuff like that.
It better.
And then man, dude, like when they were showing that one video and it was just like the guy was going like crazy and that like the one where he had the boss fight and he was outside and he was just jumping around all over the place using all the different weapons, and all of a sudden at the very, very end, here comes two guys coming out after you and then little name tags pop up above it.
So what were they called before we like really describe it, like
That's all I was gonna describe. I was like,
when they like they called it something. It was like hunt or something, some kind of hunt mode.
I don't know. It's something like, but I mean, it's part of the game. So like, basically, what they've introduced is Dark Souls, like the Dark Souls ability for you to invade another player's single player campaign. So now, as a player of Doom, you're able to like enter into your friend or a random person's world, and you can even work together to do like I think it was a Slayer hunt, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was something hunt, but you and a buddy.
Hunt down. Yeah. Something like hunt. Sorry. Go
ahead. Yeah. You and a buddy can like jump into another player's world in a single player campaign they're doing and fuck them up. Basically. I was like, that's awesome. That was really cool to see.
Yes.
Cause that's going to be, I've always wanted to do something like that, but I don't like I suck at Dark Souls. So like, I'm not going to do it in Dark Souls.
It's taking their matchmaking thing where you had, so I think it was somebody was a demon or could become multiple demons and then you just attack the other team. Right.
Right.
Something like that. I don't remember, but this is just makes it much more feasible and much like this makes sense.
Well, yeah. Cause like, I think they realized that they still want to have some multiplayer component to it, but I think they realized that the multiplayer of Doom last year was not, or 2 years ago, was not anything that people were excited about. I mean, that wasn't the highlight of it. I mean, that was made by a separate team, and it just, nobody really latched onto that Doom multiplayer as much as they could have. And so I think what they decided to do this time around is just focus heavily on that single player story, but then add the multiplayer component to it and the ability to attack other people's worlds. Because, I mean, that's replayability right there. Like, I'm totally going to go back and play the single player campaign just to go and, you know, fuck up Austin when he's playing single player.
Like, which is hey, kind of cool.
Guess what?
I assuming you and your friends can get together and be like, hey, we're just going to run around other people's games and destroy them. So I'm wondering if there's a reward system with that as well. It's like the more you do this multiplayer stuff, maybe you rank up in multiplayer XP or you get certain, you know, rewards for doing stuff and maybe hit some challenges as well. Which most likely they'll have like daily challenges just like all the other games too.
Yep.
I got two last things to say.
Okay.
That we can wrap up this Doom thing. So now they have destructible demons. So the more you shoot them, the more like bloody and gory they'll look. And then eventually once they get down to like almost death, like they'll explode or whatever. Which I was really cool because the first one, I don't remember if it had that. I don't think it did. Or at least didn't have it that much. And then apparently Doom Eternal is coming to Switch. So
I already mentioned that earlier.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Damn it. Why did I hear this?
That was in the five big reveals.
Was it?
The thing. Yeah. Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
There you go. In case you missed it earlier in the podcast.
You got it.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Elder Scrolls Blades at all? The little experience we have with
that? Yeah, I can do it real quick.
Yeah.
It actually played pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Before we jump into this, I want to mention people who don't know what this is, possibly.
It's probably good.
Elder Scrolls Blades is Elder Scrolls. It's a brand new Elder Scrolls game that is coming exclusively to mobile devices. So this will be playable on your phone. You can play. It's not just a Infinity Blade kind of game in which you like just swipe your finger across the screen to slash. It's like you have full mobility into an Elder Scrolls like world, and you can, there's a story campaign to it. Anyway, continue.
So it actually played better. My whole thing, well, it looked good at E3, and I was like, I'm sure it'll play great. So I actually got to play it, and it played really good. So you tap around the screen to move from point to point, but it's obviously linear. There's only so much you can do with, you know, this game, but graphics look great. Attacking as you hold on left or right side, and it does like a slash that way. And it only works if you hold and let go. And then you have two abilities. One was like, you know, a frost shield. Another one was electricity. And then you could shield bash along with blocking. And it's fun. I mean, for a game, it's going to be free, right?
I believe
it's free.
Yes, completely free.
I mean, for a free Bethesda game, Elder Scrolls, like, I think it's worth getting, play around with it. It's good something to do on the toilet, or if you've got to kill some time on the subway or something. I don't know.
Yes.
Worth it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, and then Doom Eternal is going to be on the Switch, if you didn't know.
Oh, no. I don't remember hearing that.
Okay, good. I'm glad I covered it, Brett.
It was funny when I mentioned it. I was, like, so shocked because I was like, oh, Doom Eternal is going to be on the Switch. And I was sitting there, like, kind of, like, looking at you, waiting for a reaction. And I was like, okay, he's not reacting to this. I don't know what's happening. So,
honestly,
you hear a pause from earlier in the podcast. That's what the pause was for.
I'm taking out that pause.
I know.
They'll never know.
Yeah. It was just, it was pretty funny. But overall, QuakeCon was really cool this year. We're glad to have gone. We're glad to see Bethesda and id Software and everybody like kind of really pushing the bounds a little bit and bringing new games out. And that was fun to see.
Yeah.
And the community there is pretty strong. There's some really hardcore fans of these properties at the place.
So cool. So cool.
It was wild. So,
but you heard it here first. We might be at the BYOC next year, so come check it out. We have an event set up. We don't know what we're going to do, but you should come out and be with us. 2019.
Yep.
There it is.
There it is. It's there.
That's going to be like, oh, my God. Now we got to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're our main event. There's already people interested. So, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I didn't know about it. I was like, oh, shit, we got to do this. Okay. All right.
Whole year in advance.
Yep. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for the games we played and the things that we did. We'll be right back for our video game news.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. And we just had like a boatload that we just talked about for QuakeCon. But guess what? There's more. There is so much this week. I had to cut out like half my article list because there was just so much shit.
And Brett wouldn't even look at mine because he had too much shit.
Yeah, I didn't. I was just like, fuck you, Austin. He's like, look at that stuff.
Fuck all your research you did all week. That. We don't need it.
Yeah, we don't need that. No, we got some mutual stuff here. First thing I want to talk about is this is interesting. IGN writer,
this has been big. This is like
wrote a article big. Or a Dead Cells review for the game Dead Cells. It's out. Wrote a review for IGN. Then a YouTuber that has a channel that goes by the name of Boomstick Gaming came out and put a video that said, IGN plagiarized from my review. What do I do? And that blew up on Reddit. Next thing you know, everybody's like comparing and contrasting. And it turns out like it's pretty much a blatant ripoff. And so IGN responds by firing the guy and saying,
first they pulled the video, made an apology, and then obviously did the firing, which is great. I think they needed this. And it was really bad for IGN. Like, this is bad. This is real bad.
Well, yeah, it sucks for them because they're a reputable media outlet. And the fact that this guy, who hasn't been in the industry very long, was hired based on his writing, and who knows how much of his writing that he wrote.
So they found another one already.
Were actually his own things. Because, yeah, they found three of them so far, at least. I mean, who knows how many more there are out there that were plagiarized. Like, here's an example here of, like, the two different lines that are basically the same sentence. Boomstick, in his video... Now, these are video reviews, by the way. But in the video, in Boomstick, he says, Dead Cells only falter slightly with some repetition setting in, especially on the early areas and during longer play sessions. Muchin, or whatever the heck his name is, the IGN guy, says Dead Cells does falter slightly with some repetition, but it's only felt in its earlier areas and during extended play sessions. So if you look at those two sentences there, the only differences are basically some filler words in between the overall gist of what he's writing. And this is like common throughout the entire video, that he has stuff that he just swapped a few words out and then called it a day. And then they came out and said that he also ripped off a Nintendo Life review of FIFA for the Switch. And it's also very, very, very similar. Now, granted, there's some like comments in there that are very common phrasings that people use today. Like, for example, silky smooth, or fast and silky smooth, or what have you. So, I mean, there are some things there that people will use. But ultimately, like, that's, I mean, looking at it, it's pretty much, it's the same thing. He just rehashed the content. And I can't imagine doing that. I mean, we pull articles, like, all of our sources when we talk about news comes from Kotaku and GameSpot, GameSpot and PC Gamer and things like that. But it's just us commentating on these things, right? We're not, I mean, if you listen to us, you realize that we are doing this like straight up off the cuff, just like bullshitting through this stuff. Like that's what we do.
Yeah. And sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's good.
No, it's always good.
Okay.
It's always good. Right. Hell yeah.
So I can understand maybe a little bit of plagiarism early on if you're just getting started and you don't know what to do. Like,
I think taking inspiration
that makes other sense.
Things, I can see that.
But I mean, there's a lot of similar things here that shouldn't be like that, especially for a publication like IGN. Like, that's a whole other standard.
Right.
You know, they're like the pinnacle of standard. You think that is like, yeah, like you don't want to fuck with that. And now they're like, I would be so pissed if I was, you know, heading up IGN, because now you have this tarnish and that's going to be there for many years to come. And now you have to kind of like rummage through your deck and like figure out what you need to, you got to clean house a little bit. Like, there's going to be things that are going to change drastically.
Your department making sure that nobody else is sending their like plagiarizing reviews and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of scary to think about.
It's big.
But who knows how many of them there have like been, you know, just, I mean, it's hard to write reviews all the time for stuff, but like, I feel like it's harder to sit there and take somebody else's review and try to make it your own than it is to just sit there and just write stuff.
Right. Yeah. It just doesn't make
sense. Maybe he just didn't play the game and then instead,
that's what I'm thinking,
you know, didn't take the time to play it and like just stole somebody else's text just because he had to make a deadline and rewrote it to match that.
Right.
So he doesn't even know what the game's like, which that would make sense. And that's also pretty shitty.
Either way you cut this guy just looks like a shithead. He's either lazy, he's either didn't want to write the review, or a little bit of all.
To come out with like a my response video on YouTube, which he was trying to defend himself and making himself out to look like the victim here, in that he's like, oh, this was not at all intentional what I did, blah, 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 and even calls out like Jason Schreier from Kotaku in some of the things that he spoke about, and eventually he like took off the video because I think he got so much
really
stuff. Yeah,
man.
So
either way, his career is over. I don't know how you come back from this.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to be hired by anybody. I don't know what he's going to do. That's going to suck. Yeah,
he's always going to be that guy.
Yeah, the guy that ripped off a review.
Yeah,
he'll find some other industry to rip off somewhere. I don't know. But
it's a good way to look at it, Brett.
Yeah, so that's a bummer for him. But anyway, Fallout 76, we talked about some Bethesda earlier, but Fallout 76 is officially not launching on Steam, which I'm not quite surprised by. Like, this is a Bethesda game, and Bethesda has their launcher now that they run stuff through, so it doesn't surprise me or shock me that they would be releasing their multiplayer focused Fallout game on the Bethesda launcher. But I know people were pissed off because they went on Steam, because everything else there is on Steam. I don't know. What do you think about this as a Fallout fan?
I think it just makes sense for them. I don't see it being an issue. I mean, there might be a few things that are missing, like, you know, playtime and stuff. And obviously you have the community mods that are, that the Steam has, but I mean, you can get those from the Nexus, so it's not like a huge deal. Honestly, I don't care. They have their client. They might as well use it. Keep, you know, keep that ecosystem closed in a certain, in a sense.
Well, heck, they might even build that modding system into this client. You know,
they probably will. It's probably going to be an issue with modding because they want their own. For those who don't know, they've created their own like mod. I don't know what the right word for it is. Like system where you have to go through them and you can pay for mods, but some of the mods aren't that great.
A modding marketplace.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. And so it's like right now it's nothing great. Like people don't like it. And I think it's a really bad idea to have that. And I think that Bethesda is just trying to, you know, put their hands in the marketplace in order to make some money off of it, which yeah, they are. They are. I get it. Like that is a point of revenue and they are missing out a lot, but at the same time, it's like leave it for the community. We built it. The only reason it got big is because it's free and they have the potential of just squashing it. Yeah, back to your original question. I really don't care. I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. In addition to that, they also said that if you play Fallout 76 in the beta, which if you pre-order it, you get beta access, you will be able to not only play the full version of Fallout 76 during the beta time, which means you can also power level quite a bit probably during that time, but when the full game comes out, your everything you've done so far will carry over to that. So you'll have a head start amongst everybody else when you jump into said game when it releases in November. So that's pretty cool.
You ready, Brett? You ready for it? Me and you, we're going to go on it together.
Hell yeah.
Do some quests, kill some...
I'll finally play Fallout.
Some of the Travelers.
The first time ever. More than 5 minutes. More than 3 hours, I guess. That's the most I've ever put into a Fallout game.
He just got it for the helmet. That's it. And the swag
basically,
bag.
Yeah, basically. So this is an interesting story. I'm a huge, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan. I don't know if anybody else is, but I really like the show.
Man, you're crazy.
It's great. It's on its 13th season right now, so clearly some people like it.
Jeez.
Rob McElhenney, how do you say his name, and Charlie Day are two of the cast members of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia series, and Apple has handed them a straight-to-series order for a new TV show that they are going to be producing that is a comedy about a game development studio. And this is being produced in part by Ubisoft's Gerard Guillemot, Jason Altman, and Danielle Krennic. They're on board as executive producers, so they will be providing some insights into the game development world, and that's pretty cool. Excited about this, so I love It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Those guys are funny, and I love to see something kind of akin to a Silicon Valley, but for the game development world, not the tech world. So yeah,
you put a lot of emphasis on funny.
Funny.
These guys are funny.
They are funny.
I get it. Well, you had me at...
So funny when it's sunny in Philadelphia.
You had me at comedy game dev.
What?
You had me at comedy and game devs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man.
I'm down.
Hell yeah. Nintendo Direct, man. They just had a big, huge Direct exclusively about Super Smash Brothers. Only Nintendo can have a conference that's exclusively about one game that everybody tunes into like in the middle of the freaking week, like on a Tuesday or whatever it was.
I enjoy that about Nintendo. Like their Nintendo Direct isn't like E3 based.
Yeah.
And it's spread out throughout the year. I love it.
I've done a lot of them. It's crazy.
Oh,
it's
I know. Really I love cool. it. It's great.
So with this new Direct, they announced some new things, right? So they're going to have a new trailer, for example. So you can watch a trailer about it. They announced two new fighters, one of which is the Castlevania protagonist, Simon Belmont. In addition, you're going to be able to play as King K. Rool, the arch enemy of Donkey Kong. So that's exciting. They brought out some... What? Oh, I thought you said and. Then they have some new Echo Fighters that will be coming in there. Transforming stages. You'll be able to activate stage morph when picking a battlefield in Super Smash Brothers. Doing so can cause the theme of a stage to change in the middle of a fight. This is from GameSpot that I'm reading this off of. And during the Direct, they also showcase how a Metroid stage can suddenly be transformed into The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword.
Whoa. Whoa, Brett, you almost plagiarized there.
I know, right? Straight up.
Man.
Straight up.
Sorry, go ahead.
And then there's going to be music. So, Austin, do you like the music from Super Smash Brothers?
Yeah, I enjoy it, yeah. I'm not like a huge fan of it, but it's good.
Did you know they're going to have more than 800 music tracks in this?
God dang. They are never making another Smash.
That's what I feel like this is it. This could be, honestly, the ultimate Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, it's like the name.
It's like the name. It's crazy. So yeah, like you can, the music's going to be categorized in the game series. You'll have everything categorized by the game series rather than like based on like a stage or whatever.
Interesting.
So you can choose what tracks you want to play, when you want to play them, and how often they play, all that stuff. So that's going to be in there. And then there's going to be like items and assist trophies, limited edition version is going to come out. That'll, have a GameCube controller, but, yeah, we don't know. There's the UK version that they announced. We don't know what this one's going to look like, but either way, you're going to have GameCube controllers. You're going to have the adapter. You're going to have the Switch. You're going to have Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. You're going to have all the characters, all the things, all the stuff. It's going to be bonkers.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait, Brett.
So Sony has sold 500 million PlayStation consoles over the last couple of decades.
Last couple decades.
They want to commemorate the 90s with a translucent PS4 Pro that is a special edition PS4 Pro. Have you seen this, Austin?
I saw it. You posted it, and I was like, Greg Miller had posted it too, and I was like, what is this thing? Like, no one has said what it is, but my goodness, does it look fantastic.
It's so pretty. It's like clean. It's slightly translucent. You can see through it a little bit. It's got a beautiful blue color. It's got some bronze, like for the PS4 and the PlayStation logo. Like, this looks like it should be in a museum.
It really should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be in the Sony Museum. How much is
it?
And I want to get it.
How much is it? And why is it not in my house right now?
Well, it's funny because I was really excited about the God of War limited edition PlayStation 4. Man. I'm such a fanboy. I'm just,
dude,
fanboying so hard right now.
These PS4 Pros, it's hard to do it because they look really nice. And it's like, do you want to buy one? And then you have to get rid of your other PS4 Pro.
Yeah, I know.
All the time. Or you don't have to. I guess you keep it. But that's a lot of PS4 Pros you spent money on. But they will only be 50,000 of these made.
Gosh.
And it goes on sale in the U.S. and Canada on August 24th.
I want it so bad, Brett.
So bad. So there's a kid, high school kid, 14 years old, Ronnie Doyle. Chris Kohler wrote this article on Kotaku here. And, he had his grandfather buy him a birthday gift that is a crowdfunded science group called Earth to Sky Calculus. And it allows him to send a small object, smaller than a lunchbox, into space. Right? So, what does he decide to send into space? He decides to spend his copy of a 1995 game called Earthbound. He sends it up
into
space.
Is that right?
And when they do this, they send up this game into space, and you have a GoPro, like a camera attached to it, and a GPS tracker on it, so you can see, like, you'll record it going up to space and then coming back down, and the GPS tracker will let you go down and find it, right? And so he sent Earthbound up there, $200 game. He attached it like hardcore, like drilled into the sides of it to make sure it like didn't just disappear in space.
Well, did he ruin the game?
No, it still works.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So he sent Earthbound to space and brought it back, and that's like the first copy. As he said, actually, quote, as far as I know, this is the only copy of Earthbound that is not bound to Earth. Clever little kid.
I get it.
It's pretty awesome. So went up 100,000 feet and then came back down, and he's got video to prove it. So it's up on YouTube's right now.
Very nice.
Last but not least, no, actually, I take that back. There's two more articles. Bethesda blocks resale of a secondhand game. There was a guy who wanted to sell his unopened copy of The Evil Within 2 on the Amazon Marketplace. He never opened it because he got another console system. And when he did that, he got some information from Bethesda's law firm saying, hey, can't do this. This is not allowed. And that sucked. So that's a bummer. But it was a game that was basically, you know, unopened, that was being sold secondhand. So I guess you're not allowed to sell a new game to another person. You can only sell it if it's open for a lower price. So you can't basically like buy.
It can be a retailer.
Yeah. Which I understand. But like in this case, like this is a guy that just like bought a game. It was like, okay, I'm going to sell it. And like for me, like I have some games on my shelf that I would like to sell that I haven't opened yet. But I guess if you want to sell it, you got to open the shrink wrap. Otherwise, like you're going to get in trouble for it.
That's so weird.
I thought that was kind of strange, but that's what they did.
That's weird. Whatever.
Last but not least, grandpas are cool.
Are they?
Yes. Yeah.
At least this one is.
So there's a Taiwanese guy named Chen San Wan. I want to say that's probably wrong, but he's a big fan of Pokemon Go. And he has 9 phones attached to his bicycle and another 2 he carries with him for catching Pokemon in Taipei. He showed up on Reddit initially. And yeah, he just runs around and is so addicted to Pokemon that he's like, screw it. I'm going to start collecting all these Pokemon with all my phones attached to my bike. And it's hilarious.
I hope there's some way he's making money off this, because those plans cannot be cheap. I mean, how much data is he going through?
I didn't even think about that.
A time, like a day.
Yeah. Maybe he got it into the AT&T unlimited service back in the day and he's just like using unlimited.
Well, I had that.
Or you know what he's doing? I got it. He's got one phone with the data plan and then he's tethering his internet to his other 10 phones.
Oh.
One data plan, sharing the internet through Wi-Fi.
Is that even feasible?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, but...
You can do up to 15 devices, I think, on it. I mean, it gets super slow.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. 5.
I don't know.
I'm saying it's got to be super slow.
He's got like 2 phones with data plan, and that's it.
Interesting.
It's funny. I thought that was hilarious.
I only hope I can be this cool and or not cool when I'm an old man.
Yeah, well... If Pokemon Go is still around, you can be right. That cool or not cool.
What a day to be an old man.
Right?
What a time.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for the video game news we have this week. If there's something that we missed, we want to hear from you. Email us at hello@theinnergamer.net and we'll talk about it next week. Also, don't forget, if you like what you hear, give us a review and rating on iTunes. We would be eternally grateful, like Doom Eternal.
Ah. But you won't be doomed. You'll be not doomed.
Just, yeah. Great. Not doomed. Happy,
eternally great.
Happy eternal.
Happy eternal.
Something like that. We'll be back at the break with our discussion topic.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
This week on our discussion topic, I am going to destroy a cat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to destroy a cat. I'm not that mean.
I don't know. He's pretty close to destroying a cat.
I'm pretty close to that. So we're recording a different place this week, and it's at Austin's house, and he has cats, and they're crazy psychotic, just like this game we're about to talk about. So our discussion topic this week,
in a good way.
maybe question mark? I don't know. This week we're going to talk about Red Dead Redemption 2. So they've dropped the first ever gameplay trailer. You're probably like, man, why didn't The Inner Gamer talk about Red Dead Redemption 2 during the news segment? Well, it's because we have a whole discussion topic for it instead. So that's pretty exciting. And we want to dive into this because Red Dead Redemption 1 came out many, many years ago. It's been a very long time since we've had this game. And there's a lot of anticipation. And there's also a lot of things that have changed in the gaming space since the first one came out. The first one released in 2010, so that was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, we did not have games as a service as a thing. 8 years ago, we didn't have the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. PlayStation 4 Pro didn't exist. PCs didn't have graphic cards that were crazy. We also didn't have like gigabit internet. So a lot of things have changed since then.
Jeez.
But we are still playing a game that is set in the Wild West. So that's cool.
Can't get better than that.
That hasn't changed.
No.
Yeah. But this trailer, man. Okay, so
can we start off with like the main thing that just looks fucking amazing?
Yeah, this trailer looks freaking amazing.
It was on PS4 Pro, and it looks like it could be a PC 1080i SLI like output. I'm thoroughly impressed. And so the question that me and Brett were asking is like, what are we going to get it on? PlayStation or PS4? PC. Obviously, we got to get it on PS4 because it just looks good. It just looks that good. There's no reason to have a... There's almost not a reason to have a PC anymore. Damn it, PS4.
Oh, no, don't say that. Don't say that. there's something else that's a funny story that I think is going to kind of blow your mind right now is...
Is it? I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, I can't find my proof to blow your mind, which is unfortunate.
Blow my mind, Brett.
Yeah, so
blow it.
Actually, this game is not coming out on PC
at all.
It's not been announced yet. It's just PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, so you really don't have much of a choice. You're gonna have to get on PlayStation 4 because that's all they got it on right now, unless you want to play on Xbox One, which you're welcome to.
Yeah never. Absolutely not.
So this game, it is, you play as in a gang as one of the outlaws. And they revealed this trailer was packed full of stuff. Like, they showed all the different types of locales. So it's not just desert anymore. You have desert, and you have mountains, and you have freaking, like, marshlands. You have swamps. Yeah, like, marshlands.
Same thing? Okay.
Basically, okay. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have different weather effects. They have... like just beautiful landscape. I feel like, I hope there's a photo mode. I think there probably is, but I want a photo mode so I can just snapshot all these things.
If they didn't, that would be a sad thing.
That would be.
But I feel like all these games like this that are on PlayStation always have a photo mode. Always has it, usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. So a few things that we want to kind of touch on is first and foremost, they announced this component in which you can, you're traveling with your gang and you move from place to place and you're always kind of mobile. When you're moving, your gang sets up camp. And I'm trying to predict what this is going to be like. And it moves with you, but I wonder if like some of those camps stay back. So those can be like kind of fast travel points for you as a gang member. Like, you can return to those old gang sites, or is it going to be you only have one place that you are able to return to, and that's like where your gang is at that current point in time? But they didn't really go into that much. But they did say that like it's going to be kind of like your little settlement space. So when you're there in your gang territory, you can interact with your other gang members. You can play games. You can get to know them better. You can go out and you hunt, and when you bring back food that you've hunted, it helps to provide food and boost morale for your gang and things of that nature. So,
all right, small comment on your thing for fast travel. I think it makes more sense that you move your camp with your gang from region to region to complete certain missions in the storyline, right?
Right.
Obviously, I don't know what that's going to be, but they might want to, like, I can see fast travel being worked out as like you take a train to another city, another region, maybe. Uh-huh. Or you can even take like a chariot or whatever. Not chariot. What do you call it?
A wagon.
A horse-drawn wagon, you know.
Horse-drawn carriage.
There it is. Chariot. Take no damn chariots.
This is not Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I know.
It's different.
But I see
different
the
time period.
I see your camp as like a hub area for you to like go get missions, talk to your friends. They said you'd be able to talk to your friends, play games like cards and stuff, and like have story time with these people.
I guess because you're a gang member, like you're probably not welcome in any town.
Right.
So your gang settlement is your town, more or less. So I'm curious how that dynamic's going to change. Because before you played as... I mean, you weren't an outlaw necessarily.
I mean, you were, but you weren't.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you weren't somebody who was like shunned from going into a town, like you are in this one, where you are like a notorious gang member that's trying to, like, that's what you do.
Right.
It's a different kind of scenario. Like in the other one, you were a guy who was, I think, rooted in good, but had bad tendencies, and in this one, you are a guy who is just bad guy. So that's interesting. But another thing that I thought was really fascinating about this was the horses. So the horses, I mentioned before in a previous news article or whatever, that the horses were things where if you left your horse there, like your horse, you could come back and your horse would be dead. It's not somebody that you can just like willy nilly just call out your horse and the horse would just show up out of nowhere.
Is it like The Witcher 3?
No.
Oh, dang it.
Or it's not like Realm Royale where you just like, hey, oh, yeah, just like pull out a horse out of your butt.
Or Skyrim, like, shows up. Summon your horse.
So, but what was really cool is they, like, the horse is a part of you in a way, and your horse is a, you get to know your horse over time. So the way you treat it, it'll perform better. So at first, like, the horse can be a little unstable when you're traveling through the lands. And then as you get to know it and get to, you know, you treat it right, like, it will adapt to being able to, you can control it better and things like that, which I thought was really interesting. I wonder how.
What do you think about that?
That's what. Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna get annoyed by that.
I'll tell you right now,
it's a fine line, you know.
Yeah, like being realistic and being a game.
Yeah,
and I feel like this is too realistic.
Yeah,
like I want to jump on a horse. I want to get to where I want to go. Yes, it's like a character. I guess they're trying to make it like it. Well, overall, they're trying to like make this world super realistic,
right?
And every, it seems like they put the detail into every nook and cranny of the gameplay and the world and the story is going to be like, you know, realistic in that sense.
Right.
And I'm just like, just make it gamey, please.
Just make it gamey. Yeah, I am concerned about that because so the other thing I did like that they said that there's stuff you can, like your horse is kind of like a storage. It's like a backpack in a way. So like right, you can put your carcasses on the horse. You can put, you know, store supplies, weapons, and things like that. So that was really cool. But yeah, I agree. Like the fact that, and they also mentioned, what I'm also curious about is they mentioned a point where your horse, like different horses have different abilities and like characteristics that are beneficial when you're out there. So like, are you not married to your horse? Like you have been in previous games where like that horse is your horse. Or are you just like gonna at some point just abandon the horse that you've spent so much time working on to get another horse just because they have this ability versus that ability? I'm curious what that's going to be. I mean, what do you think that might become?
I mean, the way that they have the camp set up and the way that your crew's going to probably work, there might be a point where it's just you have, you know, you're in a region, there's better horses, go get a horse. You know, it could be as easily as a mission to go get a new horse. And that horse stays with the crew. Like, that's going to be used by your other camp members, and then now you have a new horse or something.
Kind of like in Grand Theft Auto, where you used to be able to like park a car that you wanted to keep in the garage, and that would always stay there.
Right.
But then you could always just like steal cars.
Yeah.
That could be
it. Might be something like that. Obviously, you still have to train the dang thing. But I mean, I see how like having the camp and your friends like still using stuff. I mean, they talked about how you would have to go out and hunt and then bring that back so the camp can, all the people in the camp can have, you know, have food and stuff and like little things like that that really make it where like this is your family, this is your home, and you gotta, you know, help them, feed them, protect them, and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting thing. I also wanted to, shifting a little bit here, I want to talk a little bit about the combat. So they showed a lot of stuff related to the combat. Like they showed there's a lot more melee fighting that's available in this game than they had in the previous games. There's a lot of diversity. I don't know if you noticed when they were showcasing the different interactions, like there was parts where like whenever Morgan jumped on top of the guy and like had him down on the ground, you had different options that you could approach him with and how you hurt the guy. You could either choke him, you could dismiss him, you could beat him. So there's like a morality in the combat situations. Like they also had whenever you were coming up to that one lone guy that was out there in front of you or whatever, you could greet him, you can antagonize him, or you could, you know, there's different options that you have to approach a certain situation. So there's some player choice involved there.
Right.
Which I thought was pretty interesting. And a little bit more than just like deciding what to say, but it was like actions, like deciding actions that you take towards a person,
which will have more of a consequence too.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious to see how that plays in with the story. Cause people who listen to the podcast will know that I like to play the character as the character, like the choices and dialogue choices that they may make. Like I'm going to go 100% that way. If they're evil, they're going to be evil, you know?
So I just do what I feel better about.
See, I used to do that too. Like with Mass Effect, I would do what I felt better with, and I try not to be as evil, you know. But I think a lot of people want to do that. You know, they want to be good. But it's like, I feel like it's more interesting if you stay true to character, and I don't know how that's going to play into it, you know. This guy's supposed to be an outlaw. I mean, how bad is he? What is bad? What is bad defined as for him, for the people in this world?
Good question.
Story bits. We still don't know anything.
There's no story yet, but like, I'm just glad to see the gameplay and the diversity in the gameplay. Like when you go hunting, like you track down animals, you can hunt. I don't know how I feel about the hunting yet. Like, I'm curious to see what I can't think of the word.
Blank
on the word. But like, why you need to hunt other than bringing back food? Like, are you just always hunting just to get more money, or utility of it? Like, what is utility of hunting? Like, is it something that you're going to be like, you're going to have to grind, for example, at any point in time? Or is it something that is a part of the game, but it's not too much so that you're like, this is pissing me off, I hate this. It's like, for example, in early Far Cry games, you had to hunt to, you know, craft and things like that. Like with new Far Cry 5, they added in the abilities where you didn't really have to do that. Like, you just picked up stuff everywhere, and like crafting stuff was like really, really simple, which made it more, you know, less of a game frustration for me. But if you have to go out and hunt to like do a bunch of stuff, that's going to be weird.
Yeah, I'm not going to enjoy that at all.
So, I don't know. My biggest thing. So they mentioned towards the end of the trailer that there's more featurettes coming, and they said that they're going to showcase more on missions. They're going to talk more about activities you can do, things of that nature. I saw fishing in that one part. So if you want to go fishing, you can go fishing. That's so cool.
They're making
no golfing.
Yeah, right. They're making a legitimate living world. And I think for the setting that it is, like the old Western, you know, I think this can work really well. Something for Grand Theft Auto. I mean, this is typical Rockstar anyway. So like, they do this regardless what game they're making. But like, I don't necessarily like it for Grand Theft Auto. This is one of those games I see people are going to like play this, you know, forward and backward multiple times and just get the most out of it as they can. And I still just want to know what the story is.
Yeah. Well, so it's cool. I'm glad it's a prequel because there's an article out there on Polygon actually, where they kind of dive into a little deeper about the details that they notice in the trailer. And one of the details that they noticed, which I thought was really fascinating, there's a part where everybody's sitting around a campfire when they're talking about the working with your gang and learning about the gang and stuff like that. When you're sitting at the campfire, you see all the people in Dutch's gang, and they took a shot and enhanced it and found that in the shot around the campfire is none other than John Marston with his wife and his son Jack as a kid.
I saw that.
I was like, damn, that's cool. So like, I want to know what kind of, like, looking at it from a prequel standpoint. So not to relate it to this too much, but I've been watching Better Call Saul from the prequel to Breaking Bad. Right. And I was like, this is going to be kind of weird when they announced they were going to do this, because you know where everything's going to go. But now that I've been watching, I'm like, holy shit, this is so fascinating, because I see how this character is right now, and knowing where he ends up, like, it adds so much, like, you understand them so much better.
Yeah.
And so I feel like in a way, this could be, I hope they bring out like a super, super high def remastered version of like Red Dead Redemption, like a year after RDR2 comes out.
That would be amazing.
Just to be like, okay, you played RDR2 leading up to like seeing John Marston's younger story.
Right.
Now play over the first one again, just to like see those bits again.
That tie in, like, and
the whole time.
Full round story.
Yeah. But I don't know. Let's jump into speculation for a little bit. What do you think what are some things that you feel need to be in this game that they hasn't been announced yet, or hasn't been revealed, or has been touched on, but we don't really know if that's for sure or not?
You go first.
So for me, the biggest thing is RDR Online. That's what I want. I want to see what that's going to be, and I'm hoping and praying and anxiously awaiting the fact that this will be a much more realized version of me being able to team up with my friends and be an outlaw gang that can go and raid forts and do train heists and carry out all these objectives and, you know, just basically take control. Like, I would love to have some kind of ability where there was like a territory control thing, like maybe you form a clan and like you've entered into the Inner Gamer territory, you've entered into this territory where it's like a fight between different territories.
That's cool.
So it's like an ongoing persistent universe situation. And then, you know, like having just all these, I mean, another thing too that I really want to see is after Red Dead Redemption 2 like 1 came out, I mean, it was very, very serious, very intense, deep grounded story. And then they brought out like the Undead DLC that was like zombies and shit in like this Western world. I want to see them take this world that they're building, and then for the online component, add in all the zany, like stupid, dumb, like random stuff that's just silly and awesome and hilarious in this world. So like the game itself is serious and like very, very raw and intense. But then I want them to take the online version and just be like, we're not holding back for anything. Like, we're going to have we'll have the zombies. We'll have like ghost things. We'll have, I don't know, explosive, right? I mean, I don't know, all these different things that probably like you could do in there.
Do you want that, that Call of Duty Black Ops, or no, not Call of Duty, sorry, Far Cry, like 3 DLC thing that's just kind absolutely of crazy.
Yeah.
A little different.
Bit. A little bit. That could be
interesting. That'd be cool. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I don't know. There's a lot of things you could do in that universe with this stuff. So
for me, I just want that story to be compelling enough to pull me through the whole way. Like a really strong, I mean, lack of a better term, narrow driven story that is just like, all right, I want to do this next. I want to do this next. I keep wanting to play. I want to see what's going to happen next. What is this? Like, I want to dive into these characters. I really want to get to know them. And I think Rockstar has a habit of just having a good story, but at the same time, they put too many beats in these chapters. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, this chapter's over this, but we're going to have a lot of like bullshit in between, you know, a lot of fluff where it's just like, just take all that out, narrow down the good stuff and have, you know, 20-hour campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think this game needs a very long campaign. It just needs something compelling enough. And then you have this whole other world that's going to be in there.
Well, like I remember in Grand Theft Auto 5, like there were certain missions where it was just like, okay, this isn't in an exact mission, but like this idea, like, okay, you and so-and-so go to the grocery store, like pick up food or whatever. And that's like your objective.
Right.
Or like pick up some for your grandma or something like that. Like those are the types of missions that they would put in there.
Menial task.
And I don't know what their purpose is to kind of, I think, establish a character a little bit better. But I don't think it actually, sometimes it was like, I just want to get through this so I can get to the next action piece.
Right.
The next action sequence or whatever. So right. I agree. I think that'd be nice to have less of that. But I think that'll be possible. I do want to be able to, because there's a lot of characters that they've shown in here. I would love to see like the ability to where there's like some side quests where you can like dig deeper, but actually have some like real substance to those side quests.
Yeah.
You don't have to go about that.
Right.
But like, if you just want to like learn more about, you know, Bill Williamson or whatever, like you can go up down that pathway and like maybe do some side missions that aren't going to make it feel as if you're just putting off the overarching story that you're trying to complete, but can be a part of something where you can just like jump into it real quick, but then learn a little bit more about this person so that you can understand them better for whatever reason later on.
Yeah.
Or imagine if you do those side quests, like it makes it easier for you to make, like you can make more conscious and logical decisions about how to approach that person in the main missions because, you know, you're getting rewarded basically for completing side quests.
Right, right.
Like that'd be kind of interesting.
That'd be perfect. I mean, that's exactly what I want. I like to get to the story and then worry about, like, I want to want more at the end. I think that's what I really want. And then having that other side content. Because just like, what was a game like that? You know, there's a lot of games where it's like you finish the main story, then you can just go in the world and do whatever. I mean, that's most GTA games or most Rockstar games.
Yeah.
And then along the same lines you said, it'd be nice to have like some kind of bounty mode where other players could come in. I don't know if this has been a thing before already. I can't remember. But other players can come in just kind of like and do maternal and do like a little hunt. But you're a bounty, so they can like, you know, get a group of people together to attack you. Like in your world, like that'd be nice.
I just want to see
chase you down.
I want to see like a Fortnite, like save the earth or save the world PVE mode show up in here. But instead of it being PVE, it's PVP. Everybody's got their settlement bases, and you have to like fight off other people's bases.
That'd be cool.
Get rewards for like taking them down.
That'd be cool.
That'd be really exciting. And then just throw in a battle royale mode to it too. You know. I mean, like
last man standing,
one versus 100, except the way that's going to work is when you're doing this, instead of dropping it from the sky, like you basically just like walk drunkenly out of a saloon and it's like, oh, let me at him. Where are they at? And then you jump on your horse and you have to ride your horse and you run around, find these 100 people that you got to kill. But the catch is every single kill has to be done in that like slow motion mode, so the whole entire game is in slow motion to get those 100 kills. Like everything's moving in slow motion.
You mean like drunk vision?
Oh, and drunk vision. Okay, yeah, so like drunk, so you can't really hit them necessarily,
right?
But you're moving in slow motion. You're like, I'm gonna cure that home, bitch, and then you just
is
like
that how they talk.
I don't know. Probably, maybe.
I mean, this seems like more like a King of the Hill type thing. Where it's like 100 people go, they try to get the whatever and then keep it for a certain amount of time. And then everyone always obviously kills the person with that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What else do you want from it?
I mean, it seems like it seems like it's going to be fixed, but the combat system, like Rockstar has always had this
combat system,
janky, like movement and combat system. And I just absolutely hate it. Now, apparently the gunplay has been improved. It has realistic firing, realistic reloading, realistic recoil, and they still have that same dot that they use for Red Dead 2. So I'm curious to know, or Red Dead, and I'm curious to know if that has changed. If all that just feels much more smoother and refined. Like I can get past it. No doubt, but still, like I'd prefer something a little nicer. And after playing Rage 2, that shit just feels good. Rage 2 feels amazing to play.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does.
Not to go back in the podcast.
I know, right?
Anyway.
I don't know. My biggest thing I'm pumped about, I know the story's going to be good. I don't care what it is. I know it's going to be good because I've never played GTA, this, or the Rockstar series is one of the few where I can honestly say that anytime I've ever jumped into their game, like I've committed to it. And I've completed it. I completed GTA 4. I completed GTA 5. I completed GTA Vice City.
Dang.
I completed Red Dead Redemption 1. Not only did I complete Red Dead Redemption 1, but I had it on the 360, and I got 3/4 of the way through it, and there was a game-breaking bug that destroyed my save, and I played through it again.
Dang.
Because I wanted to see that freaking ending.
Wow.
It was so good.
See, back then it was a little easier to do that because you kind of had to do it. There wasn't the whole YouTube sensation where it's like, oh, well, screw it. I'll just go look up on YouTube.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking.
If you wanted to.
I even do a GTA 5. Like, I finished it.
Yeah.
I powered through it. I was like, all right. So, like, they've been able to create games for me that I want to complete and I want to explore those worlds, and no other game has ever made that happen, which is awesome.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, at least that's one franchise that does it for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
All the rest do not.
They've touched my soul.
That's not all they're touching.
It will be interesting, though, with RDR 2, because like you said, like RDR 1, back then, that was 8 years ago. I was 20, so I had more time to play games.
You're 20? No.
Yeah.
You're a little younger than that. It came out a little earlier than that, didn't it?
Yeah. No, 2000.
That was like 17, 18.
2010.
18, 19. Yeah. Whatever, something like that.
It was 2000.
It was good.
Or 2010 is when it came out.
Okay. Yeah.
So I was 20.
Something like that. Whatever.
I think. I don't know how.
Math. It don't matter.
Yeah.
Where were we
at? Yeah. So it was. There was. There was. There was a different time, And it'll be interesting to see how I can handle this one, because RDR2 is definitely a more natural world than, say, a GTA is, where it's just like bunches of buildings and stuff everywhere. There's all these visual things to look at. And this one, like, it's a game that has a lot to look at, but in a different sense. Like, it's nature that you want to look at. But I just want to stop and, like, look at the waterfalls and the deer across the way and be like, oh, fuck you, deer. I'm going to take you down. Get ready. My bow. No, my gun. I'm going to shoot you. And then I'm going to track you, and hunt you, put you on my horse, and ride you back to have everybody eat you.
It's very descriptive.
It is.
It laid it all out for us.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Cool. Well, that's our current wants of Red Dead Redemption 2 and our review overview of the trailer that they released. This game comes out in October, so we're right around the corner.
Oh, man, so
scary.
High.
I don't know what I'm going to do with my life in November, because
don't forget about Spider-Man next month,
dude. Yeah,
you got to finish that and then get to RDR.
Oh yeah,
you know it's already going to be like a 40-50 hour game for Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man's going to be long, and then we have a Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Fuck yeah. No, I'm not going to play that. I'm skipping that. But then I got Forza that comes out before. I think Forza comes out before RDR2, which sucks. And then Assassin's Creed Odyssey comes out in October. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 comes out in October. And Battlefield 5 comes out in October. All before freaking RDR2 comes out. So you have like 3 weeks to play through like all these games that you may want to jump into, you may not. And then Fallout 76 comes out like 3 weeks later. And then Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, if you want to play that, also comes out soon after that.
Brett, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
You're red.
Guys,
dead.
You're donate. Red dead. Literally. Guys, donate to the Inner Gamer at theinnergamer.net. Help us.
So we can quit our jobs.
So we quit our jobs and play these games for you, because no one has enough time to play these games.
Yeah, it's bad.
Nobody.
It's really bad.
Some of these are not going to be reviewed for a little while. Just gonna say that.
Yeah. So moral of the story is Red Dead Redemption 2, the graphics look freaking awesome. There's a lot more to do in this game. It's a lot more realistic. More. It's a lot deeper, and you can ride horses, and you can also actually clean their hair,
their hides.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and then you can shoot people.
So you know what I want them to have in this game?
What?
Realistic using the restroom. It's like you're in the midst of battle and you're like, wait, I have to go hide real quick. I gotta take a pee.
Gotta find the outhouse.
Oh,
that
yeah.
thing's gonna smell. Then you have a smell machine, so you can actually smell what it.
You're gonna have to
see what it smells like.
You have to dig your own hole for everyone to use.
Oh, that's true. That's probably what they did. Just like,
yeah. Well, if you're at the camp,
yeah,
you're not gonna just build an outhouse. Anyway, this is getting ridiculous.
Anyway, cool. Well, that's gonna wrap it up for our discussion topic this week. If there's something you want to hear us talk about that's a little bit more controlled than this discussion was, please let us know at hellothedinnergamer.net. Don't forget to check out. Don't check out our video clips of this segment this week, because we won't have them. But do you think we'll have more videos from Let's Play of the other things that we did? Possibly.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, cool. Awesome. So check that out. And if you donate $3 or more a month at patreon.com/innergamer, typically you can get the full video of this discussion each and every week. So you should definitely do that, because you'll get stuff. Not this week, but most weeks.
Most weeks.
So
it's an off week. It's an off week.
With that, we're going to take a break, come back with our closing out conclusion, and bye-bye.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. We will not be talking about upcoming video game releases, because we have none.
So we're not looking forward to next week.
No, we are, because we got all these other games we got to get caught up on before everything else comes out.
Very true.
We're getting close to
very true
the chaos that ensues in the world of everything.
Well, I'm 40 hours into Octopath Traveler, and I'm nowhere closer getting any more complete in that game.
Well, that sucks for you, man.
I know.
Oh, shoot. I just broke my computer.
Beep, beep.
No,
is that a
good
bomb? Beep, beep.
That was just...
beep, beep.
Oh, no. Shut up, Siri.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know either. I'm sorry, Siri. Go away. Go away. Oh, damn it. Now I gotta like put in a thing. This is what's coming out this week, y'all. Chaos has ensued in the world. So much.
If this isn't cut later in a better, more exact format, I'll be. If I can do that, I'll be impressed.
This podcast is fucked. It's great. Okay. Anyway,
Brett's head's exploding. Oh, I'm losing my mind. Exploding.
So, with that, that's gonna wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon set up, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Even $1 a month will help us keep this content coming at you every week. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast or getting exclusive content. So head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Brett Janoski.
And you've listened to The Inner Gamer. Catch you guys next week.
That's bloopers right there.
Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you, obviously.
Last laughs on you, Brett. Okay, it's probably being bloopers. Are you ready?
Yep. All right. Here we go again. It's this shit, man. Drinking Topo Chico just brings
it
out.
I love it.
Brings out the burps.
Mm. My cat's over there by you.
Oh my gosh. Get! I get you!
This whole discussion time is going to be us being very angry at my cat.
Awesome, Morales. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Great.
QuakeCon, man.
Oh.
Happened.
We're back.
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about some Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah?
Gameplay trailer. Gameplay trailer / featurette.
Let's save that for the actual discussion topic.
What are we doing?
We're doing the intro.
Oh, I thought we were just jumping into it.
No, this is the intro of the podcast, man.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought we were doing the intro to the discussion topic.
Said, hello, welcome to Inner Gamer episode 183.
Oh, shit. It was
this whole time I was like, what are we talking about today? I was trying to like get you to say like, today on the Inner Gamer, we're going to talk about this. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious.